Romans chapter 2. We're going to try to look at Romans chapter 2, verse 1, down through, I prepared the lesson down through verse 11, but I don't think we'll get that far. Now, the book of Romans and all the Word of God plainly and boldly declares that all men everywhere are sinners. That includes me. That includes you. All men are born in sin. In Adam, all died. In Adam, all have sinned. That doesn't matter what nation or what race of people, Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter what age, young or old, male or female. All are sinners, and all being sinners are guilty before God. Over in Romans chapter 3, remember verse 9. What then, are we better than they? The Jew, better or more righteous than the Gentile? No, in no wise. We have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. This is us by nature. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. None that doeth good. No, not one. There's none. Now, the all-important question of which no one is asking and of which no one is concerned is, how can a guilty sinner be justified before a holy God? Now, isn't that the issue? I'm a sinner, and I'm guilty. God is holy. Now, how can I be justified before a holy God? Well, the book of Romans answers that question. Religion has many answers to that one question. How can I be justified before God? They talk about their works. They talk about their ceremonies. They talk about their rules. They talk about their duties. Religion has many answers to that question, how can a sinner be justified before God? But you know, the Bible has just one answer. Just one answer. And that answer is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then He adds this, no man come to the Father but by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the mystery and beauty of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is how God can be just and justify the ungodly and at the same time honor His own holy character. Now, that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the mystery of the gospel. And that, my friend, is the glory of the gospel. How God can be just and justify the ungodly. We're going to see that in Romans chapter 3, verse 25 and verse 26. But with that introduction, let's take a look at verse 1 in Romans chapter 2. Now notice, he begins with the word therefore. Now we understand when we're reading scripture about chapter division and verse divisions, but in the original, when this was given, there was no chapter divisions. So that word therefore, as I've often said, looks back to what has been said and drawing a conclusion, therefore. Verse 32, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, for the wages of sin is death. And not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore, thou art inexcusable. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. Don't ever justify yourself and excuse your sin. We have no excuse. We are sinful. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. That doesn't exclude the women, does it? O sinner, whoever you are, stop your mouth, you're guilty. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, you just condemn yourself. That's all you do. For thou that judgest, you're guilty of the same thing. You're guilty. You do the same thing. Therefore, looks back to the preceding verses and declares that all men are without excuse for sinning against God. Now, that's the issue. That's why sin is so terrible. Because sin is against God. David said, against thee, thee only have I sinned in thy sight. It doesn't matter the religious Jew or the pagan Gentile. All men are without excuse before God. They are answerable unto God. Look back at Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God. The wrath of God. Now, we don't hear much in religious circles today about the judgment and wrath of God, do we? But the Bible is full of it. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, who regard the truth of the gospel in unrighteousness and in unbelief, without excuse. Therefore, there is no need for us as sinners to set ourselves up as the standard of judgment. There is no need for us to set ourselves up to judge men. That's not my business. And that's not your business. That's the Lord's business. That's His business. You remember Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that you be not judged. Now we don't set ourselves up as the standard of judgment. The standard of judgment is the Word of God. And by that we are to judge a righteous judgment by the Word of God. You remember the Lord in Luke 18 gave the parable of the Pharisee. You remember the very self-righteous Jew, the Pharisees. And He said two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a notorious, notable publican. He was a notable sinner. You remember the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. And he said, Lord, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do the other. And then he pointed to the lowlife and said, thank God I'm not like him. I'm a little bit better. See, Pharisee is the one who justified himself and condemned the other. And the old publican, the sinner, smote upon his breast and condemned himself. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. He condemned himself, and God said he went down to his house justified. You see, it's just the opposite as the way that natural man thinks. The Pharisee justified himself, and therefore he was condemned. The sinner, the publican, condemned himself. And God said he was justified. That's what I want to do. And I pray God would give you grace in your heart to do that, to condemn yourself. I'm the guilty one. I have sinned against God. I'm the one that needs mercy. It's not him. It's not her. It's not this one or that one. Right here's the problem. Right here's the problem. You don't have to look any further than your own wicked heart. We are guilty before God. Now look at verse 2, Romans 2:2. But this is what we're certain and sure of, Romans 2:2. We are sure. Now, this is what God says now. This is not just Paul speaking. This is Paul writing according as God gives him the words. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Now, the judgment of God is inflexible. The judgment of God is absolute holiness. Absolute purity. The judgment of God, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Those who sin against God, what are they worthy of? Judgment. Judgment according to truth. And we mark it down. We know this. We've all sinned and we've come short. We've come short of the glory of God. We're short. We've come short of honoring God in a way that He needs to be honored and glorified. We are sure that as we understand this point about the judgment of God, the standard of judgment is the absolute truth of God's holy law. God's holy law. That's the standard of judgment. Not man's law. Not a standard that we set. Now, if we would set the standard, we'd put it down here where we could jump over it. Like a friend of mine who said to a friend of his, he said, you know, I can jump over any barn. He said, you can jump over a barn? How is that? If you let me build it, I can jump over it. See, if he built a barn a foot high and he'd jump over it. You see, if you judge according to men's standard, well, you can meet that standard. But see, the standard is so high, we cannot reach into it. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. No amount of works, human deeds, no amount of morality. Now, as I've said to you many times, I'm not against being a moral person. I'm not against morality at all. We ought to do the best we can. But here's the problem with that. Sadly, many people look to their morality, to their own goodness, and think that will justify them before God. They think, well, I'm not as bad as that fellow over there. You see, that's the problem. You're comparing yourself. Those who compare themselves and commend themselves among themselves, the scriptures say, they are not wise. They're not wise. So, no amount of works or morality. Our morality is not our righteousness. Now, get a hold of this. Our morality is not our righteousness. How righteous do you have to be to stand before God justified? Now listen, how good do you have to be to stand before God justified? You know how good? As good as God. As good as God. That's right. He's not going to lower his standard. He demands absolute perfection, absolute holiness. And you say, well, wait a minute. That just shut the door on me. Because I cannot produce righteousness. I can't produce a holiness satisfying to God. That's exactly right. With men, this is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. The law says the guilty sinner must die. The law says stop your mouth. You're guilty before God. The law will by no means clear the guilty. So, here's the problem. God's law is holy. God is holy. We are sinners. Now, how can this sinner stand before God justified? Only in Christ, who is the Lord, our righteousness. That's why we don't go about to establish a righteousness of our own. Christ is our righteousness. He is our justification before God. Now, look at verse 3. Thinkest thou this, O man? Now here's the problem. Our thinking is totally contrary to the Word of God. What we think naturally is wrong. Our Lord said, you thought I was like you. No, He's not like us. You think this. Well, I think this is right. You remember when Naaman the leper came to Elisha? And he thought that he would come out with big pomp and ceremony and strike his hand over the sword. And Elisha just stayed in the house, sent out his servant. Said, go wash down the muddy Jordan. You remember what Naaman said? I thought. You see, that's the problem. Our thinking's wrong. God needs to change our thoughts. Change our thinking. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such thing, and you do the same, you're guilty. You're guilty. We say, well, I've never murdered anyone. Well, to offend in one point of God's law is to be guilty of all the law. And the law reaches to the intent, the motive, the heart. Have you ever been angry with someone? So much so that you thought about, well, I wish he was dead. You just murdered him in your heart. You see, we're all guilty before God. That's the point that this is making. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and ye do the same? That thou shalt escape? Can you escape the judgment of God? Shall we escape the righteous judgment of God against our sin? Certainly not by what we do or what we will ever do or have done. You see, the problem is this. We look on the outward countenance, and you look pretty good to me. You look fine to me, and folks in this community look fine to me. But that's as far as I can look. God looks deeper. He looks on the heart. God looks on the intent, the motive, the desire, the thoughts, and the intent of the heart. That's where God looks, not on the outward countenance. God looks on the heart. Now, if you want to turn with me, you can, to Matthew chapter 15. You remember the Pharisees complained about the Lord's disciples. They didn't wash their hands before they ate corn. And they were so concerned about being defiled. You remember what the Lord said? It's not washing your hands is not your problem. It's not what you put in your mouth that's the problem. It's what comes out of your mouth. Look what he says here, Matthew 15, verse 16. Are you also without understanding? Do not you yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth, it goes into your belly, into your digestive tract, and then is cast out into the commode, into the sewer, the drought. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, where do they come from? They come out of your heart. Your heart. Your heart involves your mind, your thinking, your affections, your will. That's the heart of man. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Out of the heart proceeds evil murders, adulteries, fornications, thievery, false witness, lying, blasphemy. These things come out of the real you. What's in the well of the heart comes out through the bucket of the mouth. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands, that's not a problem. Now, you ought to eat when you ought to wash your hands before you eat. That just makes good common sense. But does washing your hands make you righteous before God? You can wash your whole body, and that's not going to help. The heart's a problem. The heart's a problem. You see, Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God must give us a new heart, a new nature. He must make us a new creation in Christ. Now, here's the question for us to consider. Is there a way to escape the righteous judgment of God? You think you're going to escape the righteous judgment of God by what you do? And that's what everybody thinks, is it not? They compare themselves to their neighbor or the fellow down the street, and they think, well, I'm just a little bit better. I'm going to escape the judgment of God. It's going to be okay with me. The Scriptures teach that it's appointed unto men once to die, and we're going to die. This body's going to die back to the dust. And after that, everything will be okay. No, there's a judgment to face. You've got to face God in judgment. In judgment. How will it be in that day of judgment? You think you're going to escape the judgment of God? Now, here's a question. Is there a way to escape the judgment of God? Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And the standard of judgment is God's absolute truth, the truth of His law. Is there a way to escape? Only by having our sin laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the judgment due us put on Him. And that's what happened at Calvary. Only by having our sin laid on Christ by God Almighty and having our sin judged in Christ. And this is exactly what happened at Calvary. Now, is there a way to escape the judgment of God? Only in Christ. Because He suffered the wrath of God for us, for the sin of God's people, and put that sin away. Now turn to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 32. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not His own Son. Now why was the Lord Jesus Christ not spared? When God made Him sin for us. Why wasn't he spared? Because he was guilty as charged with the sin of God's people laid on him. And God spared not his own son when he found sin upon his son. But he delivered him up to the wrath of God, the judgment of God. He suffered the wrath of God, the judgment of God for us all. That is, those who he predestinated unto eternal life. Read the preceding verses. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ put away my sin, can judgment be on me and on him as well? If he took my judgment, my guilt, my sin, my wrath, and God dealt with him as my substitute for my sin, can he turn around and condemn me again? If you read Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that spared not his own son, look back at verse 32, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely, I love that word right there, don't you? Freely give us all things. Now who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Now, how is this sinner justified? It's God who justified us, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Who is he that condemneth? Well, it's Christ that died. He was condemned in my room and in my stead. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also right now he makes intercession for us, or his people. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the good news of the gospel, is it not? Now, look at verse. How shall we escape the judgment of God? In Christ. By looking to him, believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Now the Lord is good. But let us not forget he is holy and just. You despise the riches of his goodness. He's rich in mercy, isn't he? You despise the riches of his goodness. Now his people don't, but unbelievers do. They have no gratitude in their heart for his goodness. You despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance. God is long-suffering, it says there, and long-suffering. You're not in hell yet? You ought to be. God hasn't killed you yet? You ought to be. That's what he's saying here. People despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing, being ignorant of, not knowing that the goodness of God, his long-suffering and his forbearance should have led you to repentance. It should have. But apart from divine intervention and God doing a work of grace in our heart, it will not. The unbeliever, whether Jew or Gentile, all are sinners. And the unbelieving sinner, they despise the riches of his grace, the riches of his goodness, his graciousness, and his long suffering. That should have led us to repentance, should have given the unbeliever a broken heart and a contrite spirit, should have led us to seek mercy where mercy is revealed. But because the unbeliever is so depraved, and we are all totally depraved, but because we're so totally depraved, apart from the mighty work of God in our heart, we'll never seek to be justified before God in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It's always Christ and maybe something I must bring. Now that's what they say in religious circles. The Lord did a part and you did a part and you put the two parts together and we have a whole. That's a lie. Salvation's all of grace. Grace alone. And it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll never seek Christ to justify us and make us righteous before him unless God Almighty does a work of grace in our heart. And thank God he does. God, who has begun a good work in you, he will perform it. He will perfect it. He will do it. Apart from that work of grace in our heart, we just go right on our merry road to eternal condemnation, thinking all the while I'm just as good. I've had people tell me this. Well, I'm just as good as you folks down there at the church. Well, the problem is, we're not the standard. I'm sure you are. As far as comparing one worm to another, I mean, worm can compare one maggot to another. I mean, we look pretty good to each other. But again, I'm not the standard. I'm sure you're just as good as those folks down at church. And in other words, what they're saying is, I don't need the gospel. I don't need to come and worship God and sit and listen to the gospel. I'll just sit at home because I'm just as good as you folks down there. On a standard of human depravity, yeah, you're just as depraved as I am. But that's not the problem. The problem is God is holy. He's the standard. Our Lord said to those very plainly, those Pharisees who justified themselves before God, you remember what he said? You are they which justify yourselves before God, but he knows your heart. I don't know your heart. God does. You are they would justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart. You remember the rest of it? God looks on the heart, and those who justify themselves before God, he said it's an abomination in the sight of God. Sinners left to themselves always seek to justify themselves before men, but sadly, before God. And that's the problem. We always seek to justify ourselves and make excuse for our sorriness. No, you're inexcusable. You are guilty. That shuts us up to seeking mercy where mercy is found. Where's mercy found? Only in the mercy seat. In the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ alone. Let's read verse 5. But after the hardness and impenitent heart treasures up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. All you're doing is storing up wrath upon wrath. The hardness and impenitent, unbroken, unrepentant heart. The hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. That's our wicked, unbelieving heart. Unrepentant heart. And all that does, it stores up wrath for the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The real issue is the heart. Genesis 6, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God saw. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Rebellion and sin of the unbeliever only garners up wrath upon wrath, which will be manifest in the righteous judgment of God, because God is holy. His wrath and condemnation is just and righteous. Thanks be unto God, in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has delivered us from the wrath to come. Turn one page to Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 8. God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Being justified by what? Not my works. Justified by his blood. His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. He has delivered us from the wrath to come. Let me give you one more reference. You don't turn to this. Don't need to turn. I'll just read it to you. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Is there an escape from the wrath to come? Only in Christ. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message.